Yes, it is, and we welcome you in here to this Tuesday, December 19th edition of The Lowdown. I'm Damian Barling, joined by, what are you today? The Phenom?
I don't know.
The Excellence of Execution?
I always like the Architect.
The Architect. The Main Event, the Showstopper, and the Icon. The Lunatic Fringe.
Sure, all of it.
Jason H.W. Ross. I'm Damian Barley. Again, welcome into the show. We thank you so much for spending part of your afternoon here with us. Plenty to talk about. We got one small thought on the NFC coming up here at the top of the 1 o'clock hour. Winners and losers coming up at the top of the 2 o'clock hour. We got Kings and Sixers tonight. It's royalty in the process in Philadelphia. Game night coming up at 2:30. J. Ross back at 3:30 with Kings Live before we head out to Philadelphia for coverage of that one. It was a fun night in the NBA last night. I don't know that the NFL playoff scenarios got cleared up any with Atlanta's win. Atlanta and the NFC South are sure sitting in the driver's seat of three different playoff positions. We will touch on that as Atlanta beat Tampa Bay 24-21. You know, I don't remember what the word I used. I think I called Atlanta mediocre, which was an unfair word to use for them yesterday. They've just been under the radar.
Yeah.
Because last year, and part of that goes into what last year was. They were so explosive offensively.
They were dominant.
That this year, they're just winning. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's kind of like Carolina. Carolina, you know, the year that they were, the last year, 2 years ago when they went to the Super Bowl, a couple years ago, when they were so, so good, they were doing it in such a dynamic way, and they were having fun, and they were posing for pictures on the sidelines, and every press conference with Cam Newton was a big event. And now, this year, they're just winning. I tried to look up, what is it? Is it defense? Is it Cam? What is the reason that Carolina's winning? And the answer was, yeah. It's Cam. It's the defense. A little bit of this, a little bit of that. For the Atlanta Falcons, it's not just all offense. Their reasons that they're in firm control of their playoff destiny. We'll touch on that here in just a couple of minutes, and we'll give you what the playoff scenarios look like headed into the pivotal. Is that fair? Could we use pivotal? Week 16?
What's the word? Penultimate?
Oh, that's the word. Yeah. That is the worst word in the world.
But yeah, it's huge. All these games are big. Well, the games that have implications are big.
I think there's mathematically. You could do anything with numbers. I don't know if you've heard that. I think there's 20 teams in the playoff.
Still?
Race. Yeah.
Okay.
But, again, you could do anything with numbers, right? Like, you can – okay, yeah. If 14 teams lose, two of them tie, these guys could be in the playoffs. Right. Like, it's those type of scenarios. Fun night in Los Angeles last night.
That was very good. Good basketball game and a good showcase for Kobe.
Kobe. But, okay, first things first. How much do we all collectively miss Irvin Magic Johnson tweeting?
Yes.
Because last night when Magic took the microphone, Magic is the type of guy who, when he gets the mic, he knows he's Magic Johnson. He knows he is, no matter what room he walks into, Magic Johnson will be the most charismatic guy in there. I don't care who else is in there, but Magic is the most charismatic individual in that room. He doesn't have to plan a speech for Kobe. He doesn't even have to think about what he's going to say. He's going to get the mic. He's going to flash that big old smile. He's going to be Magic. Most of what he said last night didn't make much sense. He just kind of pieced a couple of sentences together. And boy, let me tell you something. When he dropped the, brother, and started to like go into something about race in this country, he had no clue where he was going.
Yeah.
None. But he still managed to bring it back and got that Staples Center crowd clapping. Kobe, on the other hand, is very measured in everything he says. I thought the cartoon that they showed alongside his Dear Basketball letter was phenomenal. Mm-hmm. I thought the whole presentation last night was great. We speculated how the jerseys would look up there.
Yeah, how they actually do it. But that looked great.
Yeah, it looked awesome.
Two different numbers.
And the game was great. And KD... Kevin Durant went full Kobe Bryant mode, going, what, 29 field goal attempts last night or something like that?
And making the biggest shot.
Yeah, that's the one that matters.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the one that – they have a – listen. I know how much Kings fans hate this. That Lakers team has a future. But take all the other – take Paul George and LeBron and DeMarcus and whatever magical scenario you want to create. I'm talking about Kuzma, and I'm talking about Brandon Ingram. Why don't they want to get rid of Brandon Ingram? Why wouldn't they work out that deal? Boy, that Laker Kings mystical, legendary, mythical deal that never took place.
Right.
Boy, that sure looks a lot different watching Brandon Ingram play this year.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know that Brandon Ingram would be playing like that on the Sacramento Kings, but he has had a – their confidence in him has been rewarded in the way that he's played.
Yeah.
Their young players are – they just show it a lot. They show it night after night that these guys – Kyle Kuzma's the best rookie in the league right
well,
now.
Well, I still say this is technicality and it's going to go this way is Simmons.
Okay, you're right.
But I know
you're
what
right,
you're saying.
Right,
from
you're
this
right.
class.
Yeah, you're right.
But what I like about what they have done is there was a time where we were being thrown at us that look at these great young Laker players of Russell, Randall, and Clarkson. They've moved on from that group. Russell's literally gone, and they're not asking Randall and Clarkson to be the faces of the franchise. They have now turned into rotation or role players, and they're doing just fine at that. But they're now relying on Kuzma as their future, Ball as their future, and Ingram as their future. And the additions of the subtle little moves, you know, last year adding Brewer, adding KCP, Lopez, though we got hurt yesterday, just nice little things. Again, they don't have a great record. I think their record is the same. I mean, they're 10,
yeah,
10 and 18. But they're competing.
But
you can see where they're going, though.
Change the jerseys, okay? And put the Sactown jerseys on those same
that team?
That same group. That same exact group.
We'd be pretty optimistic.
Right.
Yeah.
And I know that there are a lot of Kings fans out there that are optimistic, and that's good. And yeah. But I'll still resort to my other question. Why?
Right.
Like, why are you? Tell me why.
Yeah.
You're going to mention upside, and you're going to mention A, B, C, and D. But if you put that group of Lakers in a Kings jersey, and you said, "Well, I'm optimistic. I know they won 10 wins. I know they're not a good team, but I can see the future." Well, why? Well, look at the way Kyle Kuzma's playing right now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if Lonzo Ball will figure out the shot issue.
Yeah,
but
he made a couple big ones when he needed to.
By the way,
yeah,
which he didn't do, I think, for 6 or 7 straight games, but. I want him on the floor at the end of the game because I trust that he's going to make the right pass.
Right.
He's going to make the right play. Hell, they had a potential go-ahead a couple of nights ago. I can't remember who they were playing. Maybe it was a go-ahead, but he knew to pass it.
Yeah.
He's like, we're in the fourth. Yep, there's a wide open, and I think it was Ingram in the corner. I'm going to go to Ingram instead of pull up for a shot because he was open too. It's like, I'm going to go to Ingram. There's a better chance Ingram's going to hit that corner three than me. And I trust him out there on the court. So the – I can give you tangible reasons that I think you could be optimistic if that group of young players were in Sacramento Kings jerseys.
Yeah, and I think the key is we like what we're seeing. If you're just a basketball fan, I mean, Kings fan, you don't have to like the Lakers, but you could see what they're trying to do. But they also still have to develop. They have to get better. And is it going to fall in line, much like I said first about, hey, they're building with Russell, Randall, and Clarkson. Those guys have gotten a little bit better, but they don't look like they're stars. The other guys look like they have potential to be stars. Now, if they become that with those other pieces that they fill in, then they're going to be just fine, but I don't know if they'll track that yet.
I still wonder if Clarkson has potential.
Yeah.
I wonder.
Yeah.
Yeah. But those are those moments where, like, I jump into Kings camp, too.
Mm-hmm.
I jump into the play the rookies camp or to play the young players camp.
Because
I see them and I see the way that they're playing. And you feel like when you watch, they're building confidence.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, okay, if nothing else, allow the young guys to build confidence because that's what Luke Walton can work with and that's what that organization can work with, believing they're going to attract free agents and all that. Those are those games where it's like, man, those Kings play the rookies camp rider. I think they're right.
Yeah.
I think they're right.
What's interesting, too, is you mentioned Paul George as been linked to LA more than anybody. We've mentioned DeMarcus, we mentioned a few, LeBron, whatever, but Paul George has been the one that's almost like certain. And every time I watch them, I wonder why.
Is that what you want?
Yeah, because, I mean, if we're talking about the guys we're now discussing that are roughly in that same type of position, Ingram, Kuzma kind of plays some 3-4. Randall can play some 4. I don't know if he plays 3, but is he a 2? You have Casey. I don't know. Is that the best idea? He's a good player, but is that the best idea for their overall growth?
Well, I think we've learned you don't just take stars and put them somewhere.
Right.
Right. Carmelo Anthony had 4 points last night.
Yeah, I think it was the fewest attempts he's had since if he played 15 or more in a game.
It was virtually the fewest everything
he's
ever had
last
night. You can't just take guys and put them somewhere and go, can't just take – LeBron might be the one exception. You pick up LeBron, you put him in a Laker jersey in Los Angeles. The Lakers are better. Hey, you take LeBron and you put him in a purple jersey at the Golden 1 Center or a white
Kings
and purple jersey. They're significantly better. But the – if I said that, like, we'll use Paul George as an example since you just mentioned. Does it work?
Right. It's not right now.
Kevin Durant's probably another one. Where you put Kevin Durant on any team, regardless of who's there, the team is going to be better. But watching other – sometimes I watch the Kings and it's like, guys, we can't do the all-rookie thing. It doesn't fit. But when I see other teams doing it, like what the Lakers are doing, then it's like, man.
Well, it works for them.
We can do it.
Right.
Like, what are we doing?
Right.
Like, let them get out there and play a little bit. But it was a fun night. I know I was easy for me to say. I was tweeting with a lot of Kings fans last night. I know some people aren't over. I love Kobe Bryant. Mm-hmm. Like I love the ceremony. I thought everything was great about it. And then the game, just the basketball game was fantastic. And there were some really, really good games last night. The Rockets weren't in one of them. The Rockets are just beating the crap out of everybody. But we'll get to them. The crazy finish in Boston. Bird got a steal. Bird got a steal. I wonder if he just thought, like, I'm going to utter that phrase. Like, I got to do it. But an amazing finish for Boston. We'll get into all of that. 339-1140, 1-800. I'm looking at, should we do it this early?
Yeah, why not?
I'm all, because he could really set the tone for the show if this goes south. But
it's not going to.
I do 44-1140 if you want to jump in here on the conversation. We'd love to hear from you. 339-1140. 1-800-920-1140. JR?
Happy Hanukkah!
Thank you, JR.
Hey, didn't the Kings and the Lakers already play this year?
They did. Kings won.
Who won that game?
Oh, Kings in a rout.
Message! The Kings are better! There's your upside, Damon. Take that to the bank. Put that to the line and book them. I guess you would have been say.
Okay, JR. Thank you.
Hey.
Thank
you.
Yes, you did.
Tone setter.
Yep. I think the show's over.
Yeah.
14 minutes in, man. We are out. Did he say take it to the – where am I supposed to –
take it to the line and book him?
Yeah, he kind of mixed up some phrases there.
Oh.
Yeah, I liked it.
Take it to the line and book him.
Perfect.
There you go, JR. We'll get right on that. Kirk, what's up, man?
Is he Dano or is he Grant? What's he trying to
do? He's both.
He's special.
Yeah. Hey, like the 28th of September, I was just looking at my phone to see if I guys text because I'm stalking you secretly. But I sent a text saying the Lakers and Kings and the Bucks are going to be beasts in like 3 years just because they have a ton of young talent. You can see the Warriors like with injuries. LeBron's getting older. It's like the changing of the guard is coming. And those are the three teams. You could probably throw in the Sixers as well as being those are the top teams to look for in the future. And all you see is, like, you see these highlight reels and you see a ton of tremendous upside, especially with the Kings. They have moments of brilliance and then moments of rookie mistakes. Same with the Lakers, just young teams. And the fact that they have Luke Walton there coaching them with the Lakers, I hate to say it, Kings fan, but they're going to be the team to beat soon. But, hey, thanks, guys. Have a good one.
Yeah, we appreciate you, Kirk. Thank you.
He's a little more optimistic.
Yeah, I don't. About the Kings.
Yeah.
Yeah. He put a 3-year window on it. Yeah. Well, didn't Vlade put a 2-year window on it?
Yeah.
So he's not as optimistic as Vlade is. Right. But, again, when you watch the Lakers last night, you feel like, yeah, okay, I could see what Kirk's saying. Mm-hmm. And then you want to believe that the Sacramento Kings are in that conversation because they have very talented young players as well. We just don't get to see it in the same way that they do. Looking at the text line here at 44-1140, the difference is the Lakers know their roles and can get better in it. Here in Sacramento, the young players don't really know their role. That's from Kevin in Arkansas. And, yeah, that's fine, which I think goes to the people who are in the get rid of all these old guys. Just play the young guys 30 minutes a night and 35 minutes a night or whatever it is.
Yeah, and part of it is your circumstances. There was, if I'm not mistaken, I thought remember the Lakers wanted to get Rondo?
Oh, yeah.
So I think the thought was, we're going to play Rondo and bring ball on a little bit slowly. Well, they didn't get Rondo, so one of the decisions was, we'll go for it. We're playing him. Yeah. All right. And they were looking at a few other veterans, too. They added Lopez. They play him some. They felt they needed somebody else. He's not that old, but Kentavious Caldwell-Pope has played in the league a little bit, so added him. But, yeah, for the other part of it is they've played Nance and Kuzma and some of their younger guys, and they've played well.
That dunk.
Nance?
Oh, my gosh.
He has some – I mean, his dad was a great dunker, too, but he has some great highlights in his young career of some amazing dunks.
Yeah, but
– in-game dunks.
When you factor in who the shot blocker was, it goes from like a 9.5 on a 10 scale to like a 15.
Right.
Just that was a
– yeah.
If you haven't, for whatever reason, if you haven't seen –
I don't know how you haven't.
Yeah, Larry Nance Jr.'s dunk on Kevin Durant last night, go out of your way. Even if you have to hit pause on this show, go see. Okay, commercial. Don't hit pause on the show. Yeah, go during the two commercials that air there on the app if you're listening on the app. Trust the rebuild. Go Kings. It's on the text line. The Kobe Iverson embrace was awesome. His speech was great. Loved it all. Yeah, the Staples Center was really buying into everything Kobe was doing. The NBA TV crew was talking over it. It was a little annoying. But every time he embraced with somebody, the crowd would react based on who was he was embracing with. Iverson,
what a star-studded group, too.
Oh, Iverson, Russell. Like, that's the respect that Kobe Bryant has in the league. Like, Bill Russell's there. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is there. Allen Iverson. Shaq came out. I wonder if Kobe looks at Shaq in the the physical condition that Shaq is in.
Well, it was a problem, right, when they played.
Right.
But now, it shouldn't matter to Kobe,
come on,
but
big
I feel
fella,
like
your knees are going to be killing you in a couple years, man. What are you doing? Because Shaq, he is huge.
He is.
He is a big, big boy. I actually have we're going to bring back a version of Three the Hard Way.
Yeah.
Coming up here in a couple of minutes. Ken killed off that segment years ago, but we're gonna bring back one question. I just thought it was interesting looking at Kobe and Shaq last night and the dichotomy of great teammates. So I got a question I'm gonna propose to you in about 12 minutes here on the Lowdown. I mentioned the app. If you haven't downloaded it yet, go to the App Store, search KHTK, download it while you're there. If you wouldn't mind, it takes all of like half a second just to hit 5 stars. It immediately says submitted. If you want to go a little above and beyond the Call of Duty, just type a short review of how much you love us. Just lie. It's cool. It's like no one's like, you're not going to get deposed over this. And you can listen to the Lowdown live or on demand right there on your smartphone, tablet, and, of course, on KHDK.com. As we mentioned, the Falcons beat the Tampa Bay Bucks last night, 24-21. Playoff scenarios got pretty interesting here moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
Atlanta wins in Week 16 or Week 17. And the Packers, first of all, they're out.
Yeah, they officially got eliminated.
Seattle, Detroit, Dallas, man, they are hanging by a thread right now. And I'm like I don't know what the smallest thread in the world is, but that's the thread that they're hanging on because they need Atlanta to lose twice.
Which, you look at the schedule, the Saints and the Panthers, it is possible.
Best case scenario for the NFL, in my opinion. The Falcons and Panthers both lose.
This weekend?
In Week 16.
Okay.
And then that sets up a win and you're in Week 17 between the Panthers and Falcons. And it also puts the winner of the Seattle-Dallas game this week, which you can catch at 1 o'clock here on Sports 1140, puts the winner of that game in the driver's seat for that wild card spot if they win in Week 17.
Gotcha, yeah.
So we're in that point of the season where the playoff situations require long talking points.
Right.
Like, we're not going to be able to give you the playoff situations for teams in 30 seconds or less because there's so many things that that have to happen. But I thought that was an interesting one and Atlanta deserves it. They have been scrutinized because of the way that they lost the Super Bowl. They've been scrutinized because their number one offense in the league last year hasn't been even remotely close to the number one offense in the league this year. But yet, they keep winning games.
Yeah, winning just enough. I remember at the beginning, think the beginning of the season when they were 3-0 and we thought about the two game, like they barely beat the Bears. They had that weird finish where the Lions, we thought, won the game.
That was the Jordan Howard drop.
Yep.
On the in week one, he literally dropped the game winning touchdown pass.
Yeah, and then I think it was week three where the Lions, they ruled touchdown, but since he was down, then they did the 10-second runoff, game was over, and you went, wait, the Falcons are 3-0 and they really could be 1-2. Then they lost 3 in a row. So they were 3-3, and I think that's when everybody kind of soured on them. They've played much better lately. They've been a little too inconsistent. I don't know that I ever thought they were going to lose yesterday, but that last field goal, and that goes in, and we're going to overtime, and who knows. But, you know, Buccaneers represented themselves better than I kind of thought they were. I actually thought Atlanta might just crush them yesterday.
Did you?
I thought the Bucs were done.
Well, the Bucs are done.
I mean, literally, like, we know they're out, but, like, this is –
I thought they might play the spoiler because they know they're a disappointment.
Sure.
You in our give you a little window here into the lowdown. Jason proposed an idea of going back to a show we did with Doug Christie at the start of the football season and bringing back the 4 in, 4 out.
Yeah.
And I think all three of us had the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in.
I'm pretty sure. I know I did.
I know I did. Okay, I can't remember.
I think we might have swept that one. Yeah.
I can't remember if Douglas Dale did, but I think we all did. Boy, to air that audio again, I think we should do that. We should go back because it would be excruciating.
Yeah.
To listen to us talk about
what we got right and what we got wrong. Mainly
wrong. Raiders? I had the Raiders. You were all in on the Raiders last year, and they were great.
Yeah.
I'm bad luck. Sorry, Raider Nation. Oh. Put it on me.
No,
it's my fault.
Not. It
it's
is
on me.
Not your fault.
It's my fault. I think it is.
No, but that's the beauty and the difficulty of trying to predict this, right? Of trying to find the four teams that usually every year, there's four teams that didn't make it from the year ago that get in. And, you know, now we can even start looking at teams that go worst to first. That seems to happen now periodically. Who's it going to be now? Right? I mean, Philadelphia? No way. Well, they did it. Rams up there, Viking, you know.
Well, I have an early favorite for next year.
I think I know who it is.
Well, I think we've talked about it before. Like I don't want to be bad luck for the other Bay Area franchise, but San Francisco certainly appears to be trending in the right direction.
For
now,
sure.
Now after by the time the season's over, 4 weeks plus 2 last year, 4-6 weeks of game film on Jimmy Garoppolo.
Mm-hmm.
I think teams will start to I think we know what to do here. And he'll have to start beating defenses.
Right.
I don't know that he necessarily beats defenses yet. He's also going to have to get the ball in the end zone at some point. I'm not a football expert by any stretch of the imagination, but I think he's going to have to start throwing some touchdown passes here.
Yeah,
either
he's
that
left
or Robbie Gold. Yeah, or Robbie Gold stays young forever.
Yeah, as good as they've been and they've won, he deserves a ton of credit for that. I mean, there's been some flaws. I mean, they haven't been able to punch it in the end zone enough.
My Chargers, this is a text here at 44-11-40. My Chargers need the Titans to lose 2 in a row and hope that the Bills lose at least 1 of their last 2. We, of course, have to win out. Do we have a shot lowdown? Absolutely. Because the Titans, I don't trust, first of all. And I know Buffalo plays New England at some point.
Yeah.
You got to beat the Raiders. Got to beat the Jets. They got a shot.
And winning out, yeah.
They got a shot.
Absolutely.
They got a shot. A lot of teams, we said there's 20 teams that have a shot. I have a question for you going back to the Kobe-Shaq dynamic. I want to run by you. Plus, the Rockets keep on winning. We'll talk more NFL playoff scenarios. We're just getting started here on the Tuesday edition of the Lowdown. Since we're talking about young teams and young players on the Sacramento Kings, we got tickets to send you to see the Sacramento Kings December 29th and the Phoenix Suns. We will have those tickets for you, assuming, of course, I remember, at the top of the 2 o'clock hour. Very, very top of the 2 o'clock hour, we will have those tickets for you. Sacramento Kings versus the Phoenix Suns December 29th at the Golden 1 Center. This text here at 44-11-40. Kobe had to look at Shaq and smirk like, yeah, 2 jerseys up there. They wouldn't let me put 1 on each side of yours, but 2-1, big boy. That's from Alex P.
Nice.
That's a great text right there.
That is a great text.
Because you got to believe there's still some sort of, no matter how older.
There's something there.
Yeah, no matter how older, and I don't mean beef-wise.
Right.
But no matter how old and older and wiser, you know, you get, I'm sure there's still a competitive thing that burns in both of those guys. But the fact is they were incredible together. And I was thinking, if I told you, okay, you could start your favorite team, Sacramento Kings or otherwise, you could start your favorite team with a tandem and have them their entire career. But the era is now, 2017-2018, moving forward. You can have Kobe and Shaq for their entire careers. Shaq doesn't play for five teams. He plays for one. He plays for the Lakers. Or you can have Michael and Scottie. Their entire careers together. Which one would you pick?
It's funny because when you told me about this question, I honestly thought it was really easy until you just put a wrinkle in it.
I can't give you everything before the show. Yeah. I gotta hit you with something that surprises you and makes you think.
And what's making me think is present day, but it's not going to change my answer.
Scottie's a wing player.
Yeah.
Okay, let's establish this before you give your answer. Best player out of the four is MJ.
Okay. Yeah, right? I'm with that. Yeah.
Fourth best player, Scottie?
Yeah, but we're not talking about a big gap here. Like, that sounds like it's negative, but it's really not.
So Kobe's the Scottie's the fourth best player. Okay.
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
And whether you have Kobe 2, Shaq 2, it doesn't really matter at that point. Two wing players, a guard, and a center.
Yeah.
Who would you pick? You say it's easy?
I did, but the present day changes it because of the way the present day game is played, which I think would favor Scottie and Michael maybe a little bit more. But even with that, I would take Shaq and Kobe, especially knowing...
Really?
Yeah, knowing that I'd have in their entirety of their careers. What, you know, I don't know how... Well, we saw how it played out. Kobe's thirst to win is great. It drove him nuts that Shaq didn't have... Shaq had natural ability, but he's bigger, badder, stronger, dominant than anybody. Why did he have to... He didn't have to work as hard as Kobe always worked. Even if Kobe didn't have to work that hard, he just was going to work that hard.
But the only player's competitiveness and thirst that rivals Kobe...
Is Michael.
Is Jordan.
Right. Yeah, but they're not on the same... I mean, if I could make those two together...
Oh, no, but you have a lot of the same... Now, Scottie, no one ever accused Scottie of being lazy. I actually thought your answer was going to be Michael and Scottie because... You say, oh, well, the present day.
That's what threw me off. I thought without players, that, it was easy. But with the present day, I think. But you know what? We don't know what a dominant, like if Shaq came around today, I don't know what that looks like. Because there are some really good big men. DeMarcus is one of them. Embiid is another one. Towns is another one. They're all still shooting threes. Zebo.
Anthony Davis.
Yeah, is a good low post player for the Kings. He's shooting threes. Mm-hmm. He's spreading the floor. So I don't think we're asking Shaq now to shoot threes, but who is going to guard him down there? How dominant would he be against, okay, Ryan Anderson, you're going to play center against Shaq? Mm-hmm. Good luck. Now, conversely, Shaq, you might have to guard some guys that are, you know, Porzingis, who's out there.
Yeah.
Or Anthony Davis, who's out there. That would be tricky.
But who, when you talk about the elite centers like DeMarcus and Anthony Davis and Joel Embiid, with the exception of Embiid, who wants to bang with them down low, which is what he was special at?
Right.
Like, there are centers in the Hall of Fame that didn't want to deal with him down there. But I can't confirm this, but I think we've talked about this before. Three's more than two, right?
It is. So that Rockets... Subscribe to that.
Yeah, so that's an issue. Porzingis is a great example that you used just a few seconds ago. My feeling, the text line right now, by the way, is overwhelmingly
MJ and Pippen, right?
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. So you get your thoughts in here at 44-1140 or 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Shaq was great, but his size is what made him great. Skill, not so much. No, I think you're dead wrong in that.
He was skill.
He was very skilled, but the difference is between at least now and then is Shaq was skilled around the basket and not he knew, but he also knew that.
Yeah,
Shaq didn't venture out. Shaq shot threes in All-Star games.
Right, but he didn't have to do it. Why do it?
Yeah, and I think he barely shot free throw line extended. You know, through most of his career.
What's interesting is. And it's not that far in the grand scheme of things of when Pippen and Jordan played, but it is so different. And those guys, if you look at like career three-pointers, they just didn't take that many and make them. But could they? Of course. Mm-hmm. Like they would adapt and shoot. If MJ took 10 threes a game, he'd be just fine.
I feel like Shaq's later years have made us forget how dominant he was.
Yeah.
Because Kobe had, and Magic Johnson mentioned this last night, Kobe had, I think, one of the best endings to a career ever. Mm-hmm. He had one of the best endings fitting for who he is. Like, he took 50 shots when he was, you know, exhausted and wanted nothing more than to sit out to get 61 points, yeah. right? And that's what we all wanted.
But it was fun.
We said that. I don't want to see
any.
I think, was it D'Angelo Russell who shot the first non-Kobe Bryant shot? We're like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
No, 24 is out there, give him the ball. But it's the most Kobe Bryant performance. And we remember, you know, man, that dude could do things that other players couldn't do. Shaq was the same way. It's just he didn't do it the last time you saw him in Boston or Cleveland or Phoenix or maybe even that last final stretch there in Miami. But when he was at his best in Los Angeles, and I do think he was at his best in Los Angeles and not Orlando, he was unstoppable.
Yeah. And I think, you know, again, it's tough to erase history, but if Shaq knew that he wasn't going to be moved, he was going to be on the same team the entire time and he was going to be playing with Kobe the entire time, I think he would have heard Kobe a little bit more. And I'm sure that was a frustrating voice to hear all the time where Kobe's like, come on, man, look how hard I work. Look at my drive. You are so gifted.
Yeah.
Why don't, you know, that's the way Kobe is. He tried to drive other people. He had the greatest drive, him and Jordan, that I think competitively the NBA has ever seen.
And I think that's why I love Kobe so much, because I can understand that. Like, I can understand looking at people who don't work hard.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, or try to just get by on talent rather right. than Kobe is very talented, but he also works harder than your favorite athlete.
Right.
Whoever it is, he works harder than them. Always did. And I think that's one of the things I loved about him. You could pick apart all bad teammate, Colorado, A, B, C, D, E, F, G. You can throw all of that stuff, but it's always his drive that I thought, man, I'm always going to be on the Kobe side of the Kobe Shaq beef
mm-hmm.
because I can relate to someone who looks at someone else and goes, man, you're freaking a beast. You're untouchable.
Right.
I need you to work harder. Be a beast for, you know, Shaq was a beast for 6 years. He could have been a beast for 10.
Yeah, they should have won more.
Shaq should be looked at, if he had stayed even remotely in shape, as the greatest player to ever live. Kobe, LeBron, Jordan, Russell, Chamberlain, all of them would just pale in comparison to Shaquille O'Neal. But his run was so short. Mm-hmm. His dominant run. He was very good. He was very good in Miami. He was actually good in Phoenix. Few people remember that. But after, it's like he wasn't what he was. He was great in Orlando, too. But he should have been great for forever. Until Kobe started falling off, 3 years before retirement, when the injuries just started piling up one after the other. And, the team kind of, the Pau Gasol version of the team and everything there with the Steve Nash, Dwight Howard, Mike D'Antoni experiment all just, sort of fell apart. That's kind of where his run ended, and I think it was that season where the Achilles tear happened. It was at the end of that season. Because they fought to make the playoffs that year, if you remember. They were a disaster, but they fought to make the playoffs, and he, I feel like, got hurt in
right near the end.
Right near the end of the season to where he wasn't in the playoffs. And if I remember correctly, the crowd blew up when he walked out onto the floor, and Dwight had just got thrown out, I think, of a playoff game. And that was the end of Dwight Howard in Los Angeles. I think it's an interesting conversation, and now the text messages are kind of all over the place. I thought for sure you were going to go MJ and Scottie.
Really?
When I threw in today's game, because you have to eliminate Hack-a-Shaq? Like, how is that going to work? Hack-a-Shaq, that was created by Greg Popovich on Shaquille O'Neal.
No, I think that would still be around. People would test him about him having to guard some of these guys that shoot threes.
That still produced the greatest moment, I think, in basketball history when Popovich fouled Shaq on the jump ball.
Yeah, like right at the beginning.
Of the season.
Yeah.
I thought that was the greatest thing ever.
Yeah.
There's a good what if scenario. We'll get it back. We'll get into what is happening, and that includes wins from the Rockets and the Celtics. That's next on the Lowdown. Got tickets to see the Kings and the Phoenix Suns. We're going to be giving those away at the top of the 2 o'clock hour. Great conversation here on the text line regarding Shaq and Kobe, Jordan and Scotty, and who you would want to start your team with if you had those two players for the duration of their careers. A lot of people, it's funny, a lot of people here on the text line, 44-11-40, are saying the same thing. Kobe and Shaq will cancel each other out. It's just
in
where,
what way?
Well, in that they're both dynamic scorers. Their games will cancel each other out. The question will be Shaq versus Scotty and what kind of game you're going to play after that.
Yeah.
The funny thing is, if you just looked at this as a 2-on-2 situation, right, and not thought about what talent was around him, right, and all those different things, I feel like that game would just evolve into Kobe versus MJ. He'd give Shaq a chance to get involved like twice, and if Shaq didn't hold up his end of the bargain, same with Scotty, they would just go out.
They eventually just kind of go to the perimeter, then they just go to the bench and take their shoes off.
Yeah.
Like, okay, we'll just watch.
Getting their feet wrapped, putting ice on. Yeah.
Icy hot.
I don't even bother with it. Yeah, icy hot, indeed.
Shaq.
Is it icy hot or Ben Gay?
Shaq?
Yeah.
Oh, he's icy hot.
Oh, is it icy hot?
Yeah. Okay. And call 1-800-GENERAL now.
Well, there's a text here. We've got a lot of. I got to try to find this. It was a good one. I said, I don't want to read it wrong. Oh, can't Kobe win an argument just telling Shaq, bro, you do commercials with a cartoon general?
Yes.
One of my favorite moments of the year this year was it Dwight Howard that had he didn't have any insurance on his car. Do you remember that story?
He didn't have any insurance.
I want to say it was Dwight Howard, and then Ken lost it and said, "You make that much money and you can't call the general?" That was a moment of the year for me.
Yeah.
Really? Over Carmelo's unexpected pregnancy?
Oh, that was a good one, too.
That one's going on best of it next week, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. We had a couple of texts yesterday asking if Ken would be on any of the best of segments. Ken
might be on all of it.
Ken is on the walk-off best of segment.
Yes, for sure.
Where he explains.
Wait, walk-off?
What?
Careful.
Not that one.
Oh, okay.
Not that walk-off.
That would be a great for the best of, though.
Yeah.
It really would. Just air that at the
beginning. Start that at the best of, and then it doesn't air.
Well,
maybe tomorrow.
Oh, that's funny. That's good. Yeah, that's good. I had a train of thought that's completely gone now because Jason dropped the walk-off joke. Oh, the Carmelo Anthony unexpected pregnancy segment that Ken did. It was basically you weren't here that day.
I wasn't. I missed that. I mean, I've heard it.
I didn't need to be. Ken was basically having a conversation with himself as Carmelo Anthony. it's the most extraordinary piece of radio in history.
Yeah.
It's absolutely incredible.
He really let us into his life at that moment.
Yes. Way behind the curtain.
This is usually the hour before Ken Knapp, so if you're listening, Ken, we love you, buddy. You're going to be getting some texts and some tweets next week for sure when that one airs in the best of 2017 or the very best of 2017. Is Kobe the greatest Laker in your opinion? Magic said so last night. Oh, now people want to throw in other combos as well. Let's do this one first. Is Kobe the greatest Laker in your opinion?
No.
I say yes.
You do?
Because Magic said so. I'm not going to argue with Magic.
What about Kareem?
Good. Yeah, but he's in Milwaukee.
Okay.
Right? Was it Bucks?
Yeah.
He was with the Bucks. Yeah. No.
Magic?
Yeah. He's up there. He's good.
Up there.
Kid was all right.
Yeah.
Maybe he amounted to something.
Byron Scott?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Doug Christie.
They misspelled Christie on the jersey last night on the number 8.
Yeah, it said Bryant.
That's weird. They
were way off.
Way. Didn't even get a letter right. Yeah. Come on, guys. I did see Doug Christie tweet a respect with the picture of him guarding Kobe.
Okay, I like that.
I was surprised by that. But that's Doug. Doug is he respects his competitors. Shaq is the better rapper. That's very true. If you've ever heard Kobe rap, not good. Not good at all. Of course, Shaq.
Pretty good in Italian, right? Isn't like half of it in Italian?
Kobe speaks. No, he did a song with Brian McKnight. He did a remix with Brian McKnight. Oh, and then he did didn't he do a song called Kobe with like Vivica Fox or Tyra Banks? Didn't he do a song called Kobe?
I'm sure he did. I don't know it.
Or maybe it was K-O-B-E. I don't know. I know he did a song that's really, really bad. His verse on the Brian McKnight song isn't terrible. Shaq's first album, Shaq Diesel, was actually really good. Or good.
Yeah.
It was good.
Okay.
Grading on the athlete curve, it's good.
Uh-huh.
Stockton Malone, would you even put them in the conversation with Kobe, Shaq, MJ, Scotty?
Playing together, that tandem?
Yeah, put that tandem together, and you can start your Sacramento Kings with one of those three.
Yeah.
They're last on the...
Of that
what
group.
About... Now, this one's a little bit harder because it hasn't played out yet. What about Steph and KD?
Yeah, it's not long enough, right? But it's that's really good.
LeBron and anybody? Virtually anyone? Wade?
Wade was still pretty good at that beginning run.
Yeah.
But I agree with what Steve – did you see Steve Kerr's quote last night about Kobe? It was basically, to paraphrase it, he said Kobe was the closest thing to Michael in mentality and approach. LeBron's not that, and I agree with that. He's not taking a shot at LeBron. I don't think he is. There's just a different competitive drive that Michael Jordan had that Kobe Bryant shares. I don't know that many people – when you're that good and that gifted, you have to have some drive, but those two had something that I don't – and Steve Kerr would know.
Kobe mimicked everything Jordan did.
Yeah.
Which, if you're going to mimic somebody, it might as well be Jordan. How about Harden and Paul? They're undefeated together.
Yeah.
They're playing pretty good basketball right now, and pretty good – is a ridiculous understatement because day after day, or game after game, we should say, the Rockets have won their 20th straight. They're 15-0 when Chris Paul is in the lineup, dating back to the first game of the season before he took a sabbatical for his injury against the Golden State Warriors. But Eric Gordon, if you watch the Rockets play each night, or you just check the box score, you read a recap, or you just go to Twitter or whatever it may be, you're going to see a different name. Whether it's Clint Capella, whether it's Trevor Ariza. Last night it was Eric Gordon. He scored 17 of his season high 33 points in the fourth quarter, and the Rockets just cruised, winning by 21.
Again. Like, they haven't just been in trouble. They haven't really flirted with any of these games. They've been a machine. It's so impressive what they've done, and it's gone past the, hey, it's a cute story. I don't know if I trust him in the postseason, to you better take him seriously. Big time.
Yeah. Go out of your way. Take a few seconds from your day, or a few minutes, or a few hours, or whatever, and watch the Rockets play. It's amazing that there's still something tangibly different than what they did last year.
Yeah.
They're so fluid. I'm surprised. There's been no learning curve with Chris Paul. I mean, that speaks to – I don't know what that speaks to. But you'd think, okay, how we – because what was the conversation this offseason? James Harden, who's going to have the ball? Who's going to do what? How is this going to work? It doesn't matter. They ain't worried about it. They're just going to keep winning.
Yep, exactly. You have to figure out how to stop them.
Boston's winning, too, and the Cowboys punter. Oh, my gosh. I know, buried in index cards and fumbles and stupid rules in the Raider-Cowboy game, this was lost. But that Cowboys punter, man, he's got some massive onions. We'll explain. Plus, we got one small thought as we kick off hour number two next.